Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to be a part of your morning routine every single day, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We are very, very appreciative of you making this a part of your daily routine, as we love to kick off the day with some excitement, some shenanigans, and also some educational conversation. Of course, the one and only Jeffrey Raymond Gargis is here with us. So let's just say we know the show is going to be good. We have an exclusive opportunity that we want to make sure we highlight if any of you don't already have this on your calendar. And of course, like we promised, we are also doing a listener question focused on the grid method. So stick with us. Everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show. Jeff Gargis in the house. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like there has been a lot going on as we are wrapping up November, headed into December. I know that we have a big event that we want to highlight for our crew here in case they don't have it on their calendar for tomorrow. And then I feel like every single school I'm supporting right now, which I know that, you know, our team's always all over. There's a few groups specifically that are taking up a lot of my time, and they're all focused on formative assessment, like practices, which is a really cool topic. I'm interested why people have that top of mind at the end of November. I don't know. I don't know.
Have you asked them?
I have.
Why is this on your mind?
I think it's because when we get to November, we have tried all of the tools in our toolkit and we really know our students at this point. So the mindset is I need more resources in my toolkit because what already was in there I've used, right? Like that makes sense. So they want to, these groups, I'm thinking of three school districts specifically I'm working closely with right now. They're all different locations around the U.S. There's literally no connection between any of them.
You literally go from Illinois to California, like in.
Michigan. So I have these like three clients and they all have requested within like the same week, they've all requested support and formative assessments, which I'm game, like sign me up. And all the grade levels are different. One's a virtual middle school.
I was gonna say, one was also virtual, like a virtual school too. Like it's,
One is a like second, third grade building. And then one is a full school district. So it's like, there's literally nothing.
There's no rhyme or reason to why they're all. So clearly it's likely that it's on a lot of people's minds, which I think your reason it makes sense. I'm through the trying to figure this out this year kind of part, and I'm into the thick. So I'm either like, I'm trying to, again, like you said, looking for all the new tools, make sure I continue to challenge my students and be able to engage in them and all that stuff. But also maybe, you know, maybe there's students that I now know and love and see potential in that are struggling. I really want to know how to pull out and make sure that I'm assessing properly. So interesting. I'd love to hear if anyone watching is that on your mind right now? Is formative assessment like on there?
Yeah, let us know, because we can do, I mean, Jeff, you know us, like if our audience asks for it.
We can do a formative assessment thing.
We can. And I literally, like, not to be strange, but like I literally had to make three different trainings because I really wanted the examples to be targeted to the teachers. I didn't want to present a second grade example to an eighth grade social studies teacher. So I'm like, I've kind of taken the framework of our formative assessment work, which obviously we do year round, but really trying to target it and give people examples and then give teachers time to create them, reflect on them. A few of these groups I'm meeting with, like a few weeks in a row. So we're doing like homework assignments where they create something in the training for like an upcoming lesson. So it's like very practical. Mm-hmm. They provide it in the lesson with students when they're ready. And then the next time we meet, we reflect on how the practice went for their formative. Yeah. So I mean, I love this work. It was just weird. I'm like, it's weird that this request, they've all come like within the last week.
Yeah, okay. definitely interested to see if that's common in our community as well. Cause maybe there's something we need to do over break. But
yeah, let us know. Cause we'll do like a live stream or a webinar.
Yeah,
or
like, something.
Something for you. Yeah. We're happy to share all the tools and resources that we have. You know us. We like to give it all away for free.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think you just asked me how I was, and I just like went through a therapy session. So how are you?
I'm good.
Oh yeah.
I'm good. I'm excited. I am nervous. So like you mentioned we have a event tomorrow. So if I took it, I'm gonna talk about that because then I'll share why I'm nervous. Can I do that?
Oh yeah, I totally forgot we were supposed to talk about tomorrow.
So we have an event tomorrow that is open for anyone to attend. It's free. It's a webinar tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock Eastern time. With Ashley Gore, which is Ashley is a former teacher who actually now is actually a community, what's her title? Community experience manager for the SPI, Smart Passive Income Learner Community. So she literally, that's Pat Flynn, who I'm in a community with them. I'm in that community and stuff. And she's phenomenal. But she's had a side hustle for many years, creating curriculum materials and stuff for teachers. So she's going to chat with us about how she got started in that, how she managed the balance, what it was like stepping in into a different type of educational role, and how she manages to still grow her own thing while managing this very, very, very busy community. But she's awesome. We've done a bunch of different events together. So I've done a bunch of events with their community and stuff. And actually, why I'm nervous is tomorrow she's with us at 8 p.m., but at 12 noon, I'm with their community. And like, we were looking at dates. I'm like, well, that's a good day. I'm like, is it weird? Like, is it too much, Jeff, to do on the same day? She's like, let's do it. So like, it's kind of a cool trade-off. So I'm a little nervous there because it's something that I've never done like formally before, which is cool for theirs. But anyway, for ours tomorrow night, if you go to, God, what's the web page? I don't even know the page. We didn't prepare for this. It's teachbetter.com/ what's the thing? Follow our social media.
Literally just saw it on social. Hold on.
So if you want to come, Ashley's gonna be sharing like her experience there. So if you're someone who is considering doing any kind of side hustle, starting something, whether you're blogging, have a podcast, creating things and selling things, selling shirts, doing anything like that. If you have any of that sort of entrepreneurial itch or whatever, this can be a great session for you. So it's free. You can register for free. It's on Zoom. And then if you join the Educator community, our Educator Club community, you get the replay and actually the replay for all of our previous ones as well. And we'll talk about that on the webinar as well. But that's happening tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So you need to get obviously registered prior to then. But what is it?
I don't know. I'm failing because I actually found the link and then I'm like, but this isn't the link that we're using.
I'm going to get it. I'm searching right now. We're both in our thing here. Here it is.
You found it that fast? Hold on. No, I just found it too.
Teachbetter.com/edupreneur/launch webinar.
Oh, I was right there. It's way easier to go to our Facebook page and just click on that picture.
It is easier to just go on the Facebook page, huh? I'm hooking people up. Watch this. Right. I'm gonna put it up on screen so that everyone can see it. Watch this. So I'm gonna go add banner and look how cool StreamYard. Wow. There you go.
And then while that's up there, I can say, educators and entrepreneurs, get ready for a game-changing event. Ashley Gore shares her journey, lessons, and marketing secrets on November 29th. Save the date. Hashtag educator. Hashtag learn and grow over at teachbear.com/edupreneur/launch.
And I can tell you that Ashley is brilliant. Having gotten to work with her on a few different things. We actually did they do accelerators where they have, you know, cohorts going through courses at the same time. And I got to be their TA for one of those. So like she and I did weekly meetings with people and stuff like that. She's really smart and super passionate about education. And yeah, so former, what was she? Third and fourth grade teacher. So hang out with us.
Can I give a shout out to Rachel on the Teach Better team who
yeah, let's like, do it.
essentially pushes out all this information for all of you to see. She like kind of brainstorms like creative ways for our network to get the information. And some of these are so good. Like this one says, get ready for an unforgettable night of learning and inspiration.
It's even better when you say it like that.
Yeah, ready to transform your career. Don't miss this EduCreator community event. Like these.
Put some pressure on her now.
I know. Mark your calendar, November 29th. I think it is my tone of voice that makes it better.
I love it. Anyway, so hopefully you join us. And I think, yeah. And then if you get in the community, you'll have the replay forever as well. So, and there's a whole bunch of other ones in there as well. So,
yeah, anyway. That'll be really good. Yes. So I appreciate you giving that shout out because I know we have a lot of people already registered, but sometimes I worry that people don't catch all the things going on with the Teach Better team because it just seems to be like there's something every day always. So
something every day and always. Yes.
It's true. There I is. Agree. And depending on what bubble you're in within the Teach Better family,
you may not see all of it.
Right. Like, you may not see it. Because this event, unless you're strongly affiliated with our EduCreator Club, you it's really easy to miss, but it's like a free event that everyone's welcome to come to.
So
it's just kind of fun. Anywho, we have a listener question that we're going to talk through.
Let's do that. Mind if
we, okay, here we go. Good morning. Thank you for sticking with us here on the Teach Better Today morning show, where we get to be live every single morning, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. And also, of course, as an episode of Teach Better Talk podcast, we are getting into our team talk section, which is where we like to answer your listener questions. And as promised, we are going to do a grid question because we didn't get to it last show.
Well, we didn't get to it yesterday, huh?
We didn't get to it yesterday. So this was one that people were wondering. We got some DMs that weren't so happy with us that we didn't just make it a longer show, but we promised we would do it today. So good stuff. Jeff, do you want to read the question or do you want me to read it?
I do have it up. I was like, well, I don't have it up, but where is it at? Let me see. I will read it.
It's in the private chat of our stream right here.
Oh, okay. I was going to go in there. Look at you using all the tools.
We're trying to be responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Now I remember this question. Yeah. So how many grids should be open for business at once? I only do one at a time. What if you would really like to see kids go back to an old grid because they are not at mastery? Okay, so there's a couple different questions in there.
There are a lot of questions
in there. So you can take that however you want. So how many grids can be open at once? She only does one. But then the second question is like, what if you would really like to see kids go back to an old grid because they haven't mastered? So like those are two separate questions.
Two separate questions. Yes. Very much. Very much two separate questions.
You tackle you typically ran one grid, correct?
Yeah, so this has been
a
big debate here in the internal Teach Better team, which is kind of nice. I mean, you guys know that we were founded in 2015, and over that time, new educators have joined our family, but new educators have joined our internal team. And with new people, you get new perspectives and insights and everything in between. And this was always something early on that we kind of didn't address. It wasn't something that we were commonly discussed. And then, gosh, the more teachers we worked with, we realized this really, really needed to be a conversation that we were having. If you were doing the grid method, how many grids would you have running at one time? Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, we have an official opinion on this, but of course there are always like going to be outliers. There's always going to be a teacher that can break the rules and be successful. But it is the Teach Better team's opinion that you should only have one grid running at a time as you get started with the grid method. after you've mastered elements with the grid method and you feel really comfortable in your practice, having multiple grids running at once might be something you challenge yourself with. Maybe it's something that you see a lot of benefit for with the content that you teach. You know, there's no wrong way to do it. But as you are getting started, like your first 3 years using the grid method, one grid at a time that the whole class is working on creates a strong culture for not only your students, but also management for teachers, meaning that you wrap up one grid as a class and you begin a new grid all together as a class.
And that is how the vast majority of grid method teachers go.
That is how 99.9% of grid method teachers
go. I'm thinking of a few of the ones that aren't, that were just like so cool, like, to go into, but there's a whole, it's a thing.
Like I can literally, out of our network of hundreds of thousands of educators, I can think of three educators that literally three, I can name them, that have multiple grids open at one time and it works for them. And that is amazing. Yes. I will tell you, as an educator who ran the grid method for over a decade, does training on the grid method, all of this, I still don't think I would have multiple grids.
Yeah, and I think the key is most of those teachers, and we're probably thinking of the same ones or at least similar ones, like not only are they put in the time to really get good at running this mastery framework, but also like they have some different, they have like the right room set up and the right type of, and it works with, because there's so many logistic pieces that also go into whether you can pull that off or not.
Well, one of
when
them,
it comes to the resources, the supplies, the organization, like all that connected to it, like all of that gets, if you add an extra grid, it doubles and then it triples, like, and it gets crazy. So like definitely something to keep in mind there.
I mean, one of them specifically coded an app to help manage the process, like themselves. And so I just want to say, for me personally, as a former middle school math and science teacher, I will say I actually felt like it was good culture for my students at that point in time that we could end a grid and move on together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gave everyone a fresh start. And I personally, for the culture I created in my classroom, enjoyed that. So lots of things that we could go into that, but our recommendation is that there's one grid open at a time. However, leading to the second question, Jeff, I think there's a perception around a grid being finished and the students having access to it.
Yes.
That's where I think the second question comes in. We include a grid together and move on to the next new grid as a class. But my students always had access to all of the grids if they wanted to look into them, wanted to click into them.
Wanted to prove a higher level of mastery or retake something
or just like rewatch a video. Like they didn't go away, that their access wasn't hidden when we were finished. Mm-hmm. And what I am a huge advocate for is that your content's going to build on itself and there's no reason to do more work than you need to be doing, right? Don't work harder than your student. So if you're a writing teacher and you do an entire grid on how to write a really thrilling and engaging introduction, then the next grid, maybe even two or three later, has you writing a narrative, you can still have students refer back to that intro, how to write a really good introduction grid or introduction paragraph. I apologize. They can go through that grid and, you know, remind themselves that they want to hook and remind themselves to use descriptive detail. And you don't need to like recreate that in your paper. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe I'm messing up my words, but the point is that if you leave your grids open for your students to be able to access, even though you're not working on them, past learning experiences like activities or videos can serve them even in their current learning environment.
Agree. Well, and yeah, I think that, but I also think like if they need to go back because they're not at mastery, like that falls into what we talked about. Was it yesterday we talked about retakes? When did we talk about retakes? Like,
yeah,
if they still need to be if they're not mastered, but you're moving on as a class, like having them open, allowing them to continue to do that, like you can still check their mastery again and update that.
I'm being handed coffee. This is the best.
I was like, what is going on over there? obviously assuming you're not past the point where you're allowed to put that grade in whatever your school's grade book is, but like they can always have access. And if they have that open access, like Ray's talking about, it's easy for you to say, okay, well, Johnny, go ahead and go back and let's see if you and I can get you through this. But as a class, we're here now and we're moving on to this grid.
Well, and that's, I think, where this confusion is. I know you just shared this, but to emphasize, just because the grid's open doesn't mean that the students can complete the work for a grade. Like a grid being open doesn't mean the grade needs to be accessible. It's just access to information. Mm-hmm. So if like, if for a math teacher, if you did a whole grid on how to convert equivalent fractions, and then later on you're doing a grid on multiplying and dividing fractions, and you find that a student's struggling with the original content, like have them go back and redo some of the activities. It doesn't have to be for a grade. You don't have to reopen your whole grade book. Like it's just access to reteaching that you've already done. I don't know.
Well, but I want to harp in on the fact that like he or she, I don't know who this is, specifically mentions like because they're not at mastery being the reason to go back. Like that would be potentially like they didn't master the grid, but you had to move on. So theoretically, like the grade may already be on the book, but like
you could.
Okay. You could go as again, assuming you're not past the point where your school has said you have to have that in the official system, like they could go back, which falls into like, well, maybe they do need to retake again, but you're already into another section, which I actually think you talked about when we did our retake, which so go back and watch yesterday. It was yesterday's?
Yesterday's show was I was like, they were working on completing a retake contract. So they were using the former grid information, yeah, even though they were in a new grid. That's what I'm saying.
Even though we're moved on, they may still be able to show mm-hmm. that they could master. They just needed that extra week where you had to move on that week or whatever. So obviously a lot of ifs and buts and whatever, depending on,
keep it
a lot of stuff that's personal, you know, to you and specific to you, but
it, yeah, keep your yeah. grids accessible to students. I really needed this coffee. So I see if we were able to be live an hour later, I would have been so much more articulate. Why isn't the show start at 8 a.m. Eastern, not 7 a.m. Eastern?
I'm not going to mention who decided what time the show starts. That's,
I don't feel like this is always my fault.
It's always her fault.
That is kind of funny that I probably complain about having to make sure this show is like done and ready for our viewers the most, and yet I was the one being like, guys, we're doing a daily show, it's gonna be great.
Yeah,
sorry, I love our community. This is the right way to start the morning. I just needed this coffee. It's delicious. Cheers.
It's kind of like how I think I'm probably the one who complains about you the most. But it was me that was like, hey, I think she should be on our team. Like, it's just you and me, buddy, just shooting ourselves in the feet.
Jeff, I really love working with you, and I love doing this show with you every day. And we're going to send people off to an incredible day ahead. We love you guys. We have an amazing day. Let us know if you have other questions. Bye, guys. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.